Is it weird that I say hi, David? I should probably say hi, Dave.
I think you can call me whatever you want to call me.
Okay.
What is your story around healing? How did you come to a place that you knew you needed to heal? Any past wounds or even being willing to admit you were wounded in some way or walking around in pain?
Yeah. I didn't realize that I needed to heal until 2 years ago. So, and it really mostly through our relationship and the conflicts that we were having, did I realize I needed to heal. And what kicked it off was you started your healing journey, and we were getting in the same conflicts that we had before, arguments, whatever you want to call them, but you were showing up so differently that it completely flipped our dynamic to where I had to realize, oh my gosh, I think I'm part of the problem. Where I actually adamantly believed I was not part of the problem. I was like, dude, you have baggage.
To be fair, I did have baggage.
What you got in them bags?
You know, baggage is hard to accept from a partner. It's difficult.
Yeah. Well, I guess like the reason I brought that up is I looked at myself and was like, I come from a good family and I haven't been through a divorce and I don't have kids I'm bringing into this relationship. You have, you know, a harder upbringing. And I had this perception of myself that was like unwilling to accept that I wasn't perfect. And so, which was a very terrible mindset to bring in a relationship. I didn't realize at the time because I was very defensive and unwilling to take ownership for the ways I was showing up that were wrong. And so all of that to say, when you started healing, you started showing up differently, which showed me that I was bringing something into the dynamic that had to change because it was evident that I was the problem. And the moment I realized that I was contributing to the problem was the moment I realized, oh my gosh, I want to fix this. How do I fix this? And that's what kicked me down this journey of why do I show up in the ways that I do that are not the ways that I want to? And that led me on a massive healing journey. And what that looked like was, if I could summarize it lightly, which is very hard to do, it looked like finding the ways that I was wounded so that I could heal those wounds. And when we talk about wounds, I think that the perception is that many people have, myself included, is like people who have big trauma with a capital T, more similar to what you have,
yeah.
Which I have some too, but more similar to what you have. But what I fail to realize is there's lots of micro interactions and things that happen throughout all of our lives that create small wounds in us. And that's why we show up the way that we do. It kind of creates the lens in which we see the world through. And I've learned that we can actually heal the wounds to see the world in a better way. And that's what healing is to me, is looking into those wounds and working on them, which I can go into detail more about what that looks like. But I kind of want to hear from you what your thoughts are on healing.
Healing for me has been life-changing. I mean, absolutely life-changing, because my trauma is so deep and so big and was so evident to me. It wasn't hidden at all. It hit me kind of in the face as a kid. I had to accept that I had to heal, and I've been on a hunt to heal my entire life. And I didn't know how. And that was actually probably my biggest frustration, was that I knew I needed to heal and I just didn't know how to heal. And so I spent a lot of my life knowing I needed to heal, but avoiding my pain, thinking that other things could help me heal. So coping, but I was still trying to heal. I just didn't know what it was. So I've lived a lot of lives because I tried different things that I thought would work, you know, evangelical Christianity to try to heal. And that did give me some healing. I would say that's a big part of my life, but I didn't actually heal the wounds and I didn't face them. And then until I met you, when I met you, I was faced with either facing my pain or losing you. And that was the first time really that I went and got really good help. I had done therapy before that helped me a lot, but so I knew a lot of what was going on, but I really went and got help from a society aspect. I think we pay a lot of attention to our physical bodies and our physical health, and we know we can heal. We know we can physically heal, but we don't validate our emotional wounds. And I mean, there are people who do, and it's great, but I think in America or overall society hasn't, we're just starting to kind of accept our emotional selves and the wounds that we carry emotionally that can kind of hurt our insides and damage us from the inside out. And we carry shame and we carry trauma in our bodies. And if you don't face it and heal it, you will carry it forever. And you don't have to. You just don't have to. And I wish I would have known that as a kid.
I think I do want to elaborate a little bit on that, that going inward and that facing your pain. Because I think that I don't want to say we all, at least for me, one, I wasn't really aware of the pain that I was in, but I sure as heck didn't want to face it. So that's where a lot of coping strategies come in, things that you do to distract yourself from that pain. But truly the way that I found to heal pain is actually to go inward and to allow yourself to feel it. So I want to hear a little bit from you. What does that look like, going inward and feeling your pain? And how do you heal your pain?
The pain when I was a kid, you know, when my dad left the home, my parents got divorced, and I ended up, you know, not seeing him for many, many years, not having a relationship with him. So there was this pain that I had that I wasn't validating. My nervous system was out of whack. I didn't know how to validate that. I didn't have the tools. I went to a therapist when I was younger. My mom took us, but I was so young. I don't know if the tools that they were using were even the tools that we're using today. I think science has improved, therapy's improved so much, mental health stigma has improved, and so we're much more aware of our emotions. But I had this anger and this, like, it was like my stomach was in a knot, and it didn't feel like physical pain only because I was so used to it. But I don't know if anyone's gone through like a really difficult emotional experience. You do feel it physically. Like if anyone's gone through a really tough time, traumatic event, you curl up into a ball and you cry and your stomach hurt. I mean, you feel it physically. Mm-hmm. And so there is things that tense up inside you, and you do have, it is like physical pain, but that is the emotional pain. And it's a wound that kind of happens and so you can't really see it, but it does we do carry our emotions in there somewhere. I don't know, somewhere inside. I can tell you my experience that I carried that pain with me, and it would, and I ignored it. So it was like I walked around with this broken foot, and I walked on it for years and years and years, just being like, I'm fine. I moved on. I'm going to, you know I have it. I know this happened to me, and this is why I am the way I am, but I can't do anything about it. I can't actually heal it. I won't tell anyone, I would never tell anyone that you have to go back to the event or the past, because I don't think anyone should do that alone without help and guidance, unless they feel really comfortable. Like you have to, you actually won't go back there unless you feel comfortable anyway. You have to relax, and your body has to like loosen up and allow, your brain allows that experience to kind of come back up for you, and if you're willing to. But for me, going back into a lot of the pain was what I had to do. And I read some books. So, I mean, the tools that I've used have been meditation, which allows me to, you know, process it on my own. A lot of books, either listening to them or reading them in order to just learn more about healing and learn more about emotions and our emotional trauma and all that. So, you know, Healing the Shame That Binds You, Body Keeps the Score, like all these great books that talk about it, how it works, and going back into how to go back into that. Even you just don't grow up knowing this. So reading the books, doing the meditation, and I would say yoga has been huge for me, just physical activity and kind of processing a lot. It just slow, it doesn't come overnight. Just like physical fitness, you're not gonna, you know, wake up tomorrow, no matter what you do tonight, you're not gonna wake up tomorrow, you know, with a six pack if you don't have one already. Like it just doesn't work that way. Healing is not overnight.
Yeah.
It's just not.
Actually, I love that analogy of fitness, because I get really frustrated on my journey of healing, where when I realize, oh, this is a wound, this is where this pain is coming from, and that's why I reacted this way. And I go in and I think I'm like healing it, and it happens again. And I'm like, what do you mean this happened again? I thought I fixed this. Like I should be fixed. And that actually has been, I've realized that's actually a really unhelpful way to look at it. It's like you said before, it's not a one-time thing and you're healed. It's every time that wound is activated or hit or the scab is removed, you have to go back in and gently be gentle with yourself and say, oh, I just hit that wound.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And yeah, be patient with yourself and actually learning to love yourself through it. That's part of the healing process. And it's I want that quick fix so badly. In the same way that you go to the gym and you want abs tomorrow, it just doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
But I found that if you stick with it, or if I stick with it and I continue to work on it, slowly over time, that wound does start to heal. And that's what the healing journey for me is all about, is slowly over time watching myself grow and get better and show up differently. And it's such a beautiful thing. And it's also an entirely frustrating thing, because I want immediate results with it, and that's just not how healing works. And maybe there are miracles that happened, and maybe I'll change my mind on that at some point. But as of right now, in my experience, it's just such a journey and a process that you continually have to show up for yourself to be able to do.
Yeah, and there's so many different tools depending on what your pain is that you need to heal. I mean, if it's abuse, it's going to look different than if it was neglect or abandonment. I mean, which is still abuse, but like it's just there's just different types, you know, physical abuse or abandonment or just somebody down talking you as a child or even in your early, you know, youth. Like if you have somebody, a teacher or something, that's just calling you dumb or not.
Kids bullying you on the playground.
Exactly. It just happens. You just collect trauma. We're just growing as a society, I think, to be willing to accept that and not minimize it. Us learning how to heal emotionally makes us more resilient in the long run. And people want to kind of view it as wimpy or sensitive, like, oh, you're validating your emotions. Like, and you know, our emotions lie to us. So it's not about your emotions are always right, but you emotional awareness and understanding that you can heal will make you way stronger in the long run. I firmly believe that. That's been my experience.
Yeah, no, I agree with that as well. And I think your emotional health is going to impact all of your relationships immensely. And so the more that you are actually able to heal, able to become emotionally aware, the better you can show up in your relationships. And then overall, that enables a better quality of your life.
Yeah. So how has healing allowed you to improve your relationships?
Ooh.
Or has it?
Oh, yeah, I would say it has immensely. Well, I could speak to ours, but I think it's actually more fun to say it's improved the relationships with my immediate family, in that because of a lot of wounds that I have, however you want to say it, I feared showing up vulnerably and authentically. And so I wouldn't tell my parents or a lot of family members things about my life. I kind of closed off a lot and would hide parts of me. And in healing some of the wounds that were the reasons why I would do that, I've actually been able to show up more as myself, revealing more of myself to my family. And that's actually allowed us to be so much closer, because I'm no longer hiding things about myself. And I would say that hiding was all subconscious. I was not really consciously trying to do it, but in my subconscious, I was saying like, oh, it's not safe to share this. Don't share it. And so I wasn't. And so in learning that I can be safe in sharing that, and healing those wounds, I've started to be able to tell my parents things that I previously wouldn't have. And they're able to respond back to me in ways that they wouldn't had I not opened up with them. And so it's really kind of a beautiful thing to be in your 30s and getting closer with your parents. Mm. Whereas,
yeah, I feel that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You feel that with your mom?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been, that's great. I was just, I'm like, you made me emotional even thinking about it. I'm proud of you. I've seen that with your parents, and I'm super proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's been amazing to watch.
Thanks. But I would say it's also immensely changed how I show up in our relationship and my relationship with the girls.
Healing can be controversial maybe, but I think once you realize that you can heal emotional wounds, and I don't know if it's deniable anymore that healing is possible, because there's so many people that have healed that were traumatized and, you know, go to therapy and come back from, you know, mental illness. Maybe, I don't know, everyone has their take on healing, I guess. All I can speak about is my experience. I've healed some wounds and that's allowed me to show up differently in my life for the people that I love. It's also allowed me, like I said, to feel lighter and less weighed down or in pain. And so I'm sitting here, I guess, as a, I don't know, what would you call it? Proof, living proof of healing, emotional healing. And I just believe it. And not to say that I couldn't ever be in pain again, but right now I'm not in the same pain that I was in my entire life.
Yeah. Because ultimately, when you have carried so much pain for so long and you're finally released of it and you go, oh my gosh, other people can have this too.
Yeah, you just want to share it.
You just want to share it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think like in talking about how you got closer with your parents and I got closer with my mom through it, it also can be hard on some relationships too when you heal. And there's a, you might change your dynamics a bit with people, and even your intimate relationship can get difficult if one person decides to heal and the other one likes the way that it is, the dysfunction in some regard. So it's not like it's been all easy for us.
Absolutely not. No. And I think there's a lot there that we'll need to go into another time.
But what I was going to say is that ultimately, I think if you have in a, you know, your intimate relationship, your partnership, your marriage, if both parties decide to make healing the priority, then it's a really beautiful thing, because one, you get a up close and personal just view of your partner's healing journey, and that's just a beautiful thing. But also, and you get to support that, and there's no greater gift, I think, you know, than being there and supporting somebody's healing in a partnership. It's been the funnest thing I've ever done.
Well, and I would say too, it's actually more fun to give than it is to receive. And in that, when you show up better for the people you love, it feels so good. But I want to rewind a little bit, because you spoke of the beauty of healing in partnership. But I think it's also important to call out, if you're in a relationship and the other person doesn't want to heal, it's still critical to heal, because ultimately you healing and changing for the better is what inspired me to do so. And so your actions can inspire your partner to want to grow. And then ultimately, if that doesn't happen, because that also can be the case, you might find that, and because I found in my healing journey, I hate how many times I've used that word, but
growth, whatever you want to call it.
What I've found is that I don't accept mistreatment in the ways that I did before, because the way that I view myself is so much more valuable than I previously did. I believe and know my worth in a way that I did not previously. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say I didn't, but I believe in it far more now. And so in my relationships with various people, even in ours, we'll say to each other, like, I won't accept that treatment.
Yeah.
You have to work on that, because I will not accept it.
Yeah.
And that goes true of all the relationships around me, whether that's friends or family or coworkers, whoever I'm engaging with on a regular basis. What I'm willing to tolerate is far less. And while that's hard, it's really beautiful, because it closes your circle to better quality people. And I've watched friends go on healing journeys and realize, hey, my partner doesn't treat me well and I deserve better, and leave and go on to find better partners. And ultimately their lives are enriched because of it. So I the reason I brought that up is I don't think that healing should just be done in relationships or for a relationship. I think it's for everyone, and anyone can can and will benefit from it.
Yeah, it's an individual journey that, you know, you can choose to go on or not go on. But I think to not do it is really, just living in pain is not needed, you know, in emotional pain. You just don't have to continue to live in pain. There are wounds that will never fully heal. And, you know, a loss is never going to come, like, it's always going to be difficult. Or, you know, I'll never get to grow up with a father. That's just the way it is. But I can no longer live in pain over it. I can view it in a way, and that's part of the tools and working through all that that we'll probably go into at some point, is learning how to view it differently so that I can view the beauty in the loss. And there was a moment when I looked at you, and I remember we were talking about all this, and I was like, we've grown so far, and I think we were almost grieving in a way of how we treated each other when we first started dating, and acknowledging that you now would not choose the Dave from when we met.
Absolutely not. No offense.
No, I know. And I now wouldn't choose the Shiv from when we met. But I was like, we were like grieving that in a way. And I was like, you know what though? I would rather say that statement than still and be like, but I would choose you now. So we've grown together. We met and we were happy with the relationship. And then we grew and we're happy with the relationship. But we wouldn't be happy if one of us didn't choose to grow. And that means we're growing together. So we were like I was personally like, wow, that hurts kind of that you now, you would be out of my league. But that's actually a good thing. I would way rather say that than say, wow, we were in so much love when we met and I wouldn't choose you now, you know, if one of us outgrew each other. So it is you got to be patient with each other in the healing, because it's not going to be at the same pace. But if you commit to the healing and you commit to working on it and talking about it, you can watch each other grow together. And that's really a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Such a gift.
Yeah. So as far as pain goes, what does it feel like for you when, you know, what does that pain feel like for you? I talked a little bit about the physicalness to me, but what about for you?
It's an interesting question, because it took me a really long time to actually realize that I had pain. I had some trauma from childhood that was, you know, when I lost my brother, that was obviously a capital T trauma, but a lot of the pain that I was in later in my life wasn't necessarily from that. It was from a lot of smaller traumas that had happened. And I did not know I was in pain. I would actually have told you I wasn't in pain. But I was massively coping. And that looked like, for me, constantly having a trip planned on the calendar. I was always traveling, going somewhere. I never was home. I was out with friends, concerts, festivals, and all of these things are really beautiful and fun and good, except when they're used as an escapism. I didn't like my day-to-day life, and so I planned things outside of it in order to not actually feel the feelings I didn't want to feel that had to do with my everyday life of not being happy, actually. And so I think for me, I actually had to learn how to feel in order to realize all of that, because I'm someone who stuffs my feelings, and I'll go into that, I'm sure, more later. And when you stuff your feelings, you don't really know them other than explosive anger when it does come out. And that's how I would probably have described myself. And when I talk about this, this is all very much on a subconscious level. my friends, family, people who know me probably wouldn't describe me as that, but I know that to be true. And looking back at my life. And so a lot of the pain that I had, I was numbing, and then it was felt in explosive anger. And so it's hard to actually say that I felt it at the time. Now I have to deeply practice feeling my feelings to actually know that what the pain is. And that's been an entire process that I'm still working on. But now for me, I've learned to actually notice the sensations and feelings in my body. And then when I feel them, I literally have a sheet of feelings, and I go through it and I try to figure out which one it is, so that I'm learning how to actually identify them to know when I'm in pain.
For anyone that might be listening that doesn't know, you know, how to recognize their feelings, how many words are on that sheet?
On my sheet?
Yeah, like how many different feelings?
100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many people. I used to think this too, like feelings were, you know, we'll probably go into this later too at some point, but I used to think feelings were like anger, frustrated,
happy, sad.
Yep. But disgust, resentment, jealousy,
irritated,
joyful, peace.
Yeah.
There's so many. Yeah, we say the word irritable a lot.
He does live in a house with three girls, so.
You know what, though? I get irritable, too, and it's so helpful when I can name that emotion.
Yeah.
And that's part of the healing. What healing does is, you know, you actually shut down your feelings when you're in that physical or that emotional pain. You shut down your emotions. And so if you shut them down, you can't recognize them. And so, you know, talking about emotional wounds and how it affects us, when you shut down all those feelings and you can't recognize them, you can't then emotionally connect well, because you don't really know how to articulate or explain how you're feeling. So somebody's trying to understand how you're feeling and you don't even know. And so when I can name when I'm irritable, you go, oh, well, I'm not going to try to, you know, cuddle you, or I'm going to leave you alone a little bit and let you do your thing. Because when I'm irritable, there's no saving me. Like, I'm probably just need sleep, or like just go to bed, really. I'm going to end up saying something or doing something I don't mean or whatever, because that irritable feeling is so, like, it's just not a good feeling. It's one of the worst feelings, I think, is being irritable.
Yeah. When I'm irritable, I just need a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
But
or cheese in general.
Or cheese will do. I just need food just most of the time.
yeah. I think it's so important to know how you feel, and you can name it, and then the people around you can, you know, have compassion on those feelings. And that's something I was gonna say too about the partnership and healing together, is I think when you commit to the healing journey together, you really can have a lot more grace for each other when the person does hurt you or is upset.
Yeah. And you know what I'd say right along lines with that is my compassion for others has grown exponentially. Mm-hmm. Because I can look at people and say, oh man, they are so wounded. I don't look at, you know, when someone does something wrong to me or mistreats me, instead of going like, you know, oh, you know, screw that person, or, you know, getting angry with them, I almost turn to this compassionate place of, what happened to you to make it so that you're showing up like this? Man, I hope you heal that. I'm not going to tolerate the treatment, but I hope you heal. And it helps with forgiving people who do mistreat you, when you can look at it and go, I hope they heal from whatever that wound was or whatever caused that.
Yeah.
And it's an optimistic thing for me to know they can. The ball is in their court and the work is theirs, but they can, and I hope they do. And so it's a kind of a, I don't know, for me, it's a beautiful world view for me to hold, that everyone can better themselves and everyone can heal, and there's hope.
Yeah, there really is. There's tools out there. There's a lot available to seek healing if you need it. And, you know, the hardest thing to do is admit that you need it. And to be honest, I would say it's really hard, even when you know you need it and you know how to, it's a hard act to do. It's a brave act to go back to some of your traumas or to validate the pain, to accept what has happened to you and admit how it's affected you. And it's a hard act to grieve your life that you've spent in pain or reactive or living in a certain way that you no longer align with. Because when you heal, you show up differently and you have to go, oh, that past me wasn't so great as I thought. So it's a little hit on the ego too.
Yeah, totally. But ultimately, is it harder to walk around your whole life with a broken leg or to put it in a cast and let that baby heal?
That's the choice.
That's the choice.
That everyone
temporarily
has.
That cast sucks.
Yeah. And I think we're speaking to here trying, I mean, I think we both align on wanting to help people who maybe are looking to heal or unsure of what it is. And, you know, we want to be a gateway to that. I'm not a psychologist. We read a lot and we have, you know, done a lot of work.
I would say you've gotten your diploma from the School of Hard Knocks.
yeah, true. For sure. And I think you have too.
Yeah.
And you know, we found healing together. It was something we found together because we didn't want to lose each other. And there was so much good in our relationship that it felt like, why isn't this work? Like, why can't we figure this out? And we understood the ways we were showing up weren't aligned with our values and character, but we were poking each other's wounds. And that's what happens in relationships. I think that's kind of the design a little bit. But either way, you know, I think in having gone through that, we really want to help people understand what they're going through if they don't know this exists, because it is becoming really popular and there's so many people talking about it in our world and the people we follow and seek, but we've submerged ourselves in this. I think a lot of people in their day-to-day, probably the majority of the world, doesn't know all their emotions, doesn't know all their pain, hasn't healed. And that's why we get the reactiveness. That's why we get the mental health crisis that we're in. And so we want to help people learn about it, talk about it, and hope everyone heals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Happy healing.
Happy healing. Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye.